You would this morning, I'd invite you please one last time to grab your Bible to James chapter 4, where we just read a minute ago. Should be easy to find, right? We just read it, so. James chapter 4. We appreciate you visitors coming this morning and honoring us with your presence. And those of you returning to visit, I pray that you'll also be helped. Would you stand together as we read, as I'll read a few verses aloud, if you would follow along. We're going to begin this time down in verse 13, James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a question you ought to ask yourself. What is my life? God tells us it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me preach to you this morning on verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we ask you in Jesus' name, through the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins on the cross, we ask you, God, in humble petition, plea, beseech, beg you, Father, today to work in all of our hearts. May there not be one here today that would resist your Holy Spirit. May there be sweet, precious liberty here among your people. Father, there are souls here today that are desperately in need of direction, help. Some are in need of salvation, God, of their soul. Some are on the brink, God, of destruction, heading into sin and iniquity. Lord, I pray that, God, you would call their attention today. You would arrest their hearts with your Spirit, through your voice, your word, your power. That you would fill this place, God, with Holy Spirit, liberty, love, and light. God, I pray you'd bind the strong man, bind the devil. Lord, we're trying to hinder his home, going into his territory now, Father, and we pray that you would bind him, that you would cast him down, and Lord, that you would use your word and your power. Greater is he that's in us, Lord, than he that's in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, you may be seated. We have here in the book of James chapter 4 a very sobering passage of scripture, really. And our verse, I read to you the chapter earlier in during our scripture reading, James chapter 4. But in verse 13 he says, go to now. And that phrase, go to now, is not one we use anymore necessarily. But it means to come on, to think about this now, to turn your mind to this now, go to this now, and ponder this, meditate on this. And he says in verse 13 that a lot of people live their lives according to what they want, according to what they think is proper, according to what they desire. And he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, in verse 13, we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell, and get gain. And what he's saying is I want to get your attention here for a minute, is what God's saying. I want to get your attention here for a minute and realize, and I want you to understand something, that you don't have the authority to just decide that, okay, live your life for yourself.
Right.
God's just trying to get our attention this morning. Now, I want you to understand, He's trying to help us. Before I go any further, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to hurt anybody. I'm here today to be a blessing and a help and strengthen the beloved, strengthen the disciples, exhort you to continue in the faith. Those of you that are getting back in church, maybe just for recently, newly saved, maybe saved for 30 years, whatever the case is, I just want us to come back to the place where we understand that God wants us to realize that that our life is more than just choosing what we're going to do, buying and selling and getting gain.
That's right.
Verse 13, he's talking to people who are living their life to just make money, who are living their lives to just make gain, to just get something that they didn't have yesterday. They're buying, they're selling, and they're getting gain. They're just living their lives, going to this city, to that city, or this job, to that job, and all that they have to look forward to is maybe tomorrow I'll make a little more money. You know, I'd like to make a little more money tomorrow too. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm being honest with you this morning. But I want you to understand, the reason God put this in here is because He knows us.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows how we normally think. He knows how we normally process our daily thoughts and what we plan. And if you have any plans, I hope that you have some kind of goals. But the point is, He knows who we are, and He knows what we what normally drives us is to just, tomorrow, I'm going to go to my work, my job, I'm going to buy and sell, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to get gain. Now pay attention up here, please.
Right.
Up here. There's more to life than that.
Amen.
Verse 14 says, you don't know, whereas you know not, you don't know what shall be on tomorrow. Yep. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yep, man. That's right.
There's a verse in Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, right, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God says, listen, stop thinking that everything is going to be exactly as you prepare and plan and pretend it to be. Understanding, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
Now, the odds are it's going to be Monday,
yeah,
and we're going to wake up, and we're going to be tired. Mondays are Mondays, right? I don't know if you're a morning person or not. I'm a morning person, just not on Mondays. Sundays is probably my longest day of the week. I work the hardest, and not the only day I work, but you understand, because you know we preachers, we only work Sundays and Wednesdays.
Sure.
The rest of the time we just lay around with our feet up.
Yeah.
But Sundays, that's a joke, by the way.
Amen.
It may not be a joke for some, but it's a joke for me. Maybe one day I'll get to... No, I'm just kidding. The point is, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, though. The odds are good. It's going to be Monday morning. It's going to be another day. We're going to go through life. But the point... it may change completely from anything that I ever dreamed of. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. Listen to me. Yesterday morning when you woke up, you probably, some of you, did not know you were going to be in church today.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Right.
Some of you, now, the fact is, you certainly didn't know what I was going to preach about.
Right.
The fact is, you certainly don't know still now where I'm going with this.
Amen.
You still don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your heart, because I'm just getting started. You don't know what's going to happen today even. So how can we boast ourselves about tomorrow to say, well, I'm just going to earn my money, get my gain, and live my life?
Right.
A couple questions here in our scripture. Number one, what shall be on the morrow? Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? We don't think about it. That's what he's saying. Go to now, ye that say this and that and the other. Let me ask you a question. What's going to happen tomorrow? See, are you going to be healthy?
Yep.
Are you going to be sick?
Oh.
Are you going to be strong? Are you going to be weak? Are you going to be happy?
Yeah.
Are you going to be sad?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is in God's hands.
Right.
Tomorrow is in God's hands. Yesterday is gone. Today is just here for now. Tomorrow is in God's hands.
Right.
We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. Number two, secondly, what is your life?
Yeah, yep.
What is your life? If you had to sit down today, right now, and write down everything you wanted everybody to know, and you could not lie, it was impossible for you to lie, and you had to write down everything that you wanted your children to know about your life, or maybe you don't have any children, someone else to know about your life, your legacy. And you had to write it down and give it to the next generation. What would it say?
Yeah, that's right.
Come on,
right.
What is your life?
Yep.
Now, you young people, I understand, it's probably not a whole lot, maybe half a page. But the point is, every one of us has a story from our birth to today of what our life is. What our life has been. What our life is. We can't say what our life is going to be. We have, like I said, we have a good idea. But listen now, we don't know what tomorrow is. The question is, what is your life today? Where have you been? Oh, I've been here and there. I've traveled the seven seas. I've seen here and yon. And you may have, and that's great. But really, what's your life?
Yeah, that's right.
What have you left behind in this world from the point you were born to today? What have you done that you would want someone else to really be aware of and to know that makes a difference, that has any bearing on anything real? Now, some of you would have to just be honest and say, well, I bought and I sold and I got game. I went to work and I came home and I got a paycheck, and I went to work and I came home and I got a paycheck. And some of you wish you even had that. I understand, but the point is, I live my life just doing what everybody else does.
Right.
Ask yourself this question: what is your life? What would you write down if you were forced to write down a history of your life? What would you write down that you would think would be important, that you would think would make a difference in somebody else's life if they read it? What is your life? God says, don't worry about tomorrow. What is your life today?
Yeah.
Right. Man.
As we meditate on that, as we ponder that thought, I for one, I have a lot of things that I know that I would want to leave out.
Yeah.
If I had to put it on paper.
Yeah.
I would want to leave it out. It's embarrassing. I wish that I could say that there's nothing in my past that would ever... But no, I can't say that. I'd be lying.
Amen. Right.
But I'd also be able to write down some things that God has changed in my life,
Amen.
That God has made different in my life since I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior on May 13th in 2004. And for the last 13 plus years now, God has changed everything about me, not because I'm better or than anybody else, but simply because of His grace and His saving power. I am a different person, and I now live, and I walk, if you will, to the beat of a different drummer. And His name is Jesus. His name is Christ. His name is Emmanuel. His name is God with us. I now have a Spirit of God dwelling in my heart. My life is still the life of a sinner, but yet my life is vastly different now than it was before Christ. Can you even say that? Can you say, my life is vastly different today than it was before Christ? Can you say that? You might not have a post-Christ life, but you can. Today can be the day. Today can be the day. You say, well, what about tomorrow, preacher? Don't worry about tomorrow. I guarantee you, one of those tomorrows is not going to come.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
One of those tomorrows, you're not going to wake up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
preach.
What is your life today? What is your life today? Well, that's convicting. What is my life? What is your life? I mean, what can I ask you this? What are you living for?
Amen.
Who are you living for? Well, I'm living to buy and sell and get gain. I'm living to go to work and make some money. Okay, well, God's trying to tell us in this passage that there's a whole lot more to life than that.
Amen.
That, yes, we need to make money. Thank God for money that God allows me to have, and I get to eat once in a while. Yes, but what is your life? That's not, if that's all that defines you, then God's trying to say that you don't have, you're not living like God wants you to live.
Amen.
There's so much more. Life is not a matter of just making some money and going to the funeral home. There's more to life. God says your life is short. It is but a vapor.
Yep.
Have you ever boiled water? Now I have children at home. Well, I have one child who's taller than I am. I think he can boil water. Yeah, can you boil water? Can you burn water? I think he can probably boil eggs. I'm pretty sure. But when you boil that water, steam starts coming. You see the steam, it gets hot enough, the steam starts to rise above the pot. Now, how long does that steam last? It rises above the pot. If you watch it, it goes up and then it just kind of, it's gone. It's gone. It's a vapor. That's what that word, it's a vapor. It's steam. It's just there. And it's gone. In eternity, in light of eternity, our life is just here and it's gone. It's gone.
That's right.
And God says, if you live your life, well, I'm going to go buy and sell and get gain. And then one day, it's gone.
That's right.
And God says, you completely missed everything I had for you. You completely missed everything that you could have from me.
Right.
And you completely missed everything about the reason I created you.
Amen.
The reason I gave you life.
Yes.
You missed it all. It's a short time. It's a vapor and then it vanishes.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
What is your life?
Yep.
What is your life? Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life today? And then thirdly, ask yourself this question. Verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will. Let me ask you this. What does the Lord want?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what, verse 15, look at it now, James chapter 4, you ought to say, instead of I'm going to buy and sell and get gain, I'm going to buy and sell and get gain, I'm going to make some money, and then I'm going to make some more money, and then I'm going to make some money, and then I'm going to be miserable, empty, and you will, miserable and empty, and miserable and empty, and I'll never have enough money to fill the emptiness inside me, and I'll be, but I'll keep buying, and God says, wait a minute, your life is too short to waste it like that. What does God want from your life?
Yeah, amen.
You young people sitting here today, what does God want from your future?
Yeah, amen.
What does God want? Do you even ask yourself, what does God, this, the next question is, verse 15, the Bible says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, or if God wants me to, I'll do this and that.
Amen. Amen.
So our question ought to be for ourselves, okay, what is my life today? And then, okay, then what does God want from my life?
Yep. Right.
What does God want from me? What is God's will?
Yep. Amen.
God has a desire and a plan and a purpose. It's nothing new. Most of you understand this, but yet we still go through life, don't we? Buy and sell and get gain. Buy and sell. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to trade my strength and my time for my paycheck, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to have more this week than I did last week, and I'm going to buy some food. I'm going to pay my bills, and then I'm going to go back and do it again next week.
Yeah, right.
And God says, what is your life?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's not living. That's existing. What does God want?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, can I ask you honestly, just seriously, when, if ever, have you ever asked yourself, what does God want from my life?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked yourself that?
Yeah. Paul. Right. Yep.
Have you ever even thought about that? Oh, you're just gain, and then gone.
Right.
What does the Lord want from your life? Turn to Luke chapter 12, if you will, if you can find it with me. If not, just listen, and I'll read it to you out loud. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What is my life? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Now, he didn't say, what does God want me to do?
Yeah. Right.
He didn't say, what does God want me to do? He said, what will I do? I know what I will do. Yeah. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what everybody seems to think life is about? Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Make your money so you can eat, drink, and be merry. And then what?
Right.
By the way, if you haven't noticed yet, the eating and the drinking and the merriment, it doesn't last. It never fulfills your emptiness. It never satisfies. It never satisfies. This old world never satisfies. Make my money so I can eat, drink, and be merry. So I can eat, drink, and be merry. And so what is your life? What does God want? Listen, but God said in verse 20, Luke chapter 12, God said unto him, thou fool. Now, why did God call him a fool? Because he's living his life as if there's no God.
That's right.
A fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
That's right.
I've got my money. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry so I can be happy. And God says, you're a fool because you're living your life as if God doesn't exist.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Instead, we ought to be saying, God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? God, what do you want me to do with what I have that came from your hands? But, verse 20, this man, God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
That's right.
You see, God says it's foolish to live your life as if God didn't exist.
Yeah.
Eating, drinking, and be merry. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, it will be as it was in the days of Noah.
That's right.
What was it like in the days of Noah? The Bible says that that's what they did. They were eating and drinking and giving and in marriage and just being happy.
Yeah, right.
Eating and drinking and being happy. Is there a sin in eating? No. Is there a sin in drinking? Well, no, not depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Is there a sin in being happy? Absolutely not. The point is that God's trying to make is this world is going through its daily, day-to-day processes as if God did not even exist.
Right.
Ask yourself this, young people. Ask yourself this, young people. Ask yourself this, older people. Ask yourself, what is your life? And what does God want with your life?
Amen.
Wow.
It's not just to eat, drink, and be merry. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, man. That's right.
If we were concerned about just eating, drinking, and being merry, many of you wouldn't even be saved today.
Yeah, that's right. Man. That's right. Yep.
Amen.
I know I can look at faces all over this auditorium who have been saved because somebody decided that their life was not their own.
Yeah, that's right.
If I decided to eat, drink, and be merry, many of you would not be saved today. If our soul winners who go out every week into the city and knock on doors and talk to people, many of you, if they just decided, well, you know what, this is not eating, this is not drinking, and this is not merry, so I'm not going to do this anymore. If I decided that it was my money and I'm not going to give any to God because I'm going to eat with it and drink with it and be merry with it, I'm not going to give any to God. So many of us, we wouldn't even have these lights on. Well, you wouldn't even have a place to sit today. There'd be no furniture in here. There'd be no lights. There'd be no building. There'd be no comfortable air conditioning. There'd be nothing because God's people just decided to eat, drink, and be merry. But instead, we realize that there's more to our life than just eating, drinking, and being merry. Our life consists of doing what God's will is for our lives. Our lives consist of doing what God wants for our lives because tomorrow may not come, and everything that counts, I need to do it today because time is short, because I don't know when God's going to call me home, and I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account of everything I did with every single day of my life.
Amen.
You're going to answer for it.
Right.
What is your life?
Right.
What is your life? What is your life?
Yeah.
I'm going to get right tomorrow, preacher.
Yeah. Right.
Today I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'll fix things tomorrow.
Yep. Oh.
God says, thou fool.
Yep.
You're going home tonight.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
I'm taking your soul tonight.
That's right.
Your soul is going to be quiet of thee tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then what about all this stuff you've got laid up over here? All of these plans.
Yep.
All of these dreams. All of these wonderful things that you're going to do to make yourself merrier and happier so you can eat more and drink more and be more merry. And God says, what about when I take your soul home?
Yep.
What about that?
Yep.
What is your life?
Yeah. Man.
What does God want from your life? I promise you, if you'll ask yourself that, He'll tell you and He'll begin to build in you the desire to do what He wants, and you'll begin to see purpose and reason, and your desires will become holy and righteous instead of selfish, self-serving, eat, drink, and be merry. There's two young ladies here today that are here because somebody visited them yesterday, talked to them about Jesus, and they got excited that God loved them and God sent somebody by to tell them, and they came to church this morning. There's another young man here today who got saved last week who's going to get baptized today because somebody else decided my life is not my own. I'm going to just go ahead and serve God and put some tracks out in here, and now he's going to heaven.
Amen.
What is your life?
Yeah.
What is your life?
Yeah.
What is your life?
Amen.
Those of you that haven't lifted a finger to help us with these tracks, what is your life?
Yep. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Right.
What is your life? Friday afternoon about, 5:30 I think it was, my wife and I were going to pick up the kids. They were mowing some yards and we had to go pick them up because they still don't have their driver's license. But on the way to pick them up, I got a phone call. And on the other end of the phone was, he said, "This is Officer so-and-so from Denton Police Department." And I said, "This is not a good call. This is not a good call." And he said, "Do you know a lady by the name of Sonia Skidmore?" I said, "Yes, sir." My first thought was, I'm going to be honest, my first thought was, Miss Sonia's putting out too many tracks and the police have got her arrested because she's putting out like 1,000 tracks, over 1,000, nearly 1,300. But that wasn't it at all. Then came the response was, "I have Sonia here with me. And her husband has just passed away." I said, "What?" "Her husband has just passed away." I said, I'll be there as soon as I pick up my kids." I got there as soon as I could, and I found what had happened was, listen now, 45 years old. 45 years old. Miss Sonia was there with him. She watched him die. She tried to do CPR to resuscitate him. He perished. He died. Right there in their home. Pay attention to me, please. Look up here. On Thursday night, if I would have gone over and asked Gene, her husband, "Gene, what's going to happen tomorrow?" I promise you, I guarantee you, he would not have said, "I'm going to die."
Yeah, yeah. Right.
"I'm going to die."
All three.
Yeah. I promise you, when he woke up on Friday morning, he expected to wake up on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
He didn't make it.
Yep. That's right.
He didn't make it.
Yep.
If I would have asked Gene, "What's going to happen tomorrow?" "Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll get up and eat." And
do what I always do. If I were to ask Gene, what is your life? He said, what do you mean? I eat and I drink and...
Yeah, right. Oh.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I saw them. I saw him. I saw them put him on the gurney. In the bag. And take him away. I was there. I saw her kiss him one last time. Folks, listen to me. See, it shouldn't take a story like this to get your attention.
Amen.
But it does. Because all the scripture in the world lets you bored. But now I've got every one of your attention.
Yeah. Come on, preach. Yep.
Amen, brother.
Right.
What is your life?
Yeah. Hey.
What is your life?
Yep.
No. No. Yes. Not right now. What is your life? Tomorrow I'll get right, preacher.
Yeah. Come on.
I'll get saved when I'm ready.
Yeah. Right.
Really? When you're ready?
Yep.
When it makes you happy?
Preach.
Preach, brother. Preach.
Yep.
Nowhere in this Bible, my friends, does God guarantee you tomorrow.
That's right.
Yep. Hey. That's right.
If you are the next story,
yeah.
Where will you be spending eternity?
Yes.
Yep.
We know that Gene was saved as a 9-year-old boy.
Amen. Yep.
He told me. He's gone.
Yeah. Right.
I never could get him to church. But I tried. I know Sonia tried. But he didn't understand what I'm trying to get you to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That your life is more than just living and getting gain.
Yep.
And then that is not what God has for your life.
Amen. Yep.
Ask yourself this. What is your life?
Yep.
Because it's vapor.
Yep.
Jeans is... It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Right.
Right.
If that were you...
Mold.
Would you be able to stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I gave you my best.
Yeah.
Right. I served you with all I had.
Right.
I led my life according to your will. Or would you have to stand there and say, God,
yeah. Come on.
I built my barns.
Yeah.
I did what I wanted to do.
Come on, breathe. Yep.
And I feel like a fool.
That's right.
I don't want to stand there like that before God.
Right.
What is your life?
Yeah.
Sonia's here today.
Yeah.
She's in church today.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. She's here today.
Yeah.
What is your life?
Yeah.
What are you living for?
Oh, great.
What are you living for?
Yeah.
That's why you're so miserable.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're living for you.
Amen.
Gene was not living for God. But he was saved. Are you saved today?
Yes. Oh, great.
Are you saved today?
That's right.
If I get a phone call about you.
Yeah.
will I be able to say, I know they're in heaven?
Amen.
Will I be able to say that?
Amen.
What is your life? Young people, what is your life? What are you going to do with your life?
Amen.
What are you going to do with your life? I'm just going to live and die. Why? There's more to it than that.
Come on, preach.
That's right.
I'll fix it tomorrow, preacher.
Come on, preach.
Listen, bow our heads, close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's people in this room that need to get saved. Lord, there's souls in this room that need to come to Christ. Father, I pray that you would not let them tarry. That you would not let them tarry. God, that they would run to Jesus. Father, I pray for your children, those who are saved here today, who are living their lives for themselves. Lord, thank you that there's so much more to life than myself. Thank you, God, that you have a will and a plan for my life and for every life sitting before me. Lord, throughout those short years of that vaporous life, you have a will.